Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
But you know what? We leave all that aside for now because it's Easter Saturday and we're going to start with something a little bit different today. We're going to talk about that elusive thing, joy. And I'm joined now by three people with different angles on joy. Aoife McIlwain is a life coach and a self-described crack mechanic. Tony Bates is a clinical psychologist. And John McCarthy is a champion surfer and a leader at North Clare Community Church. Good morning, everybody. I'm trying to sound joyful now. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Morning.
Of course, you probably can't force it. Tony, will we start at the start as the clinical psychologist and the expert here? What is joy different from happiness?
Oh, yeah. Joy is happiness is big brother or big sister. You know, it's bigger. You know, I mean, you couldn't split hairs, but I think joy, happiness is, well, happiness is wonderful and we all want to be happy. But it can often be something we can predict and in a sense we can create and it's we can get our head around it. But joy is something that we just can't manufacture. It's something we can't just make happen. We can be in a position where it can happen, but it comes as a surprise to us. Let me give you an example. Take Easter eggs. You know, Easter eggs. Some people are looking forward to their Easter egg, and I can be very happy that I have an Easter egg and I'm going to enjoy it tomorrow. But I can be overjoyed that this person remembered me and brought me an Easter egg, and that even more so that they're with me and that they're sharing this experience. Joy is always about more than me, okay? And another example came to my mind of, you know, we feel happy we got the Six Nations and we won it. But I think we felt joyful when we beat the All Blacks. We didn't expect to. We didn't believe it was possible. And we were thrilled not just for ourselves. I was right. I knew they'd win. No, we were thrilled for the players, for their families, for supporters, for all of us.
So interesting. You're saying that joy, it's one thing, it's something that surges up maybe, but also that. And I was reading there one time that the Greeks and the Romans regarded a mood as a public thing, not as a private thing. A person didn't have moods. A mood was something everyone had. Joy is more a collective thing, you think, than an individual thing, is it?
Joy lifts us out of ourselves, and it the ego takes a back seat. And I think joy is a deeper connection with each other and with our relationship with nature or whatever, but it's
bigger than us.
It comes as a gift and it just lifts us out. For me, it's a heart thing. So if you like, joy is the overflowing of an emotion in the heart.
Yes, perfect. Aoife McIlwain, what is joy to you?
Well, it's really lovely to be here today to talk about joy. It's such a big subject, and it's kind of fascinating because I completely agree with everything Tony says. And I also think joy is very personal in that something that brings me joy, for example, singing along to a cheesy Celine Dion song at the absolute top of my lungs in a crowd of people, might be someone else's idea of anti-joy, right?
Yeah,
so I think it's so important for us to understand what brings us joy. So for me, my core values as a person and the core values of my business, the Sing Along Social, are creativity, community, and crack. So those are the things that bring me joy. Those are the things that bring the people who come to our events joy. But I think, important that I respect that not everyone finds joy in Celine Dion, Bewitched, and Westlife.
Yeah.
And so how do we make space for each other's joy? How do we respect
each
other's joy?
It's interesting, though, you're saying a similar thing to Tony, that it feels like if you're singing along with Celine Dion at the top of your voice, you've forgotten yourself a little bit, have you? Like it's beyond yourself.
Big time. I think it's something about joy. And maybe this changes at different parts of our life. I think maybe at a different part of my life, maybe an earlier part, I would have looked for joy outside. So maybe I would have looked for joy in, okay, how many people are at our event? How many people are in the audience? How many you know, even how many likes does my Instagram post have? And as I maybe become older, I'm 42, so I'm actually a baby. And as I maybe know myself more, I know that actually joy is a much more private thing in a way that I'm looking for joy from the inside. Maybe.
Yeah, not the metrics of success kind of thing.
And I guess that's maybe because I was maybe taught that joy and success looked like that. But actually, as I live longer, I'm like, oh, well, the joy for me maybe comes in a smaller, like, mindful moment or a connection with a person. Yeah. Although I still love the big...
A surprise.
What's that?
A surprise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
John McCarthy, for you, what is joy?
Well, I think we can have great joy from precious relationships, you know, where our kids, our family, from nature... but not always, you know, relationships can be hard, nature can be dreadful. You know, like when I'm doing a surf lesson in La Hinch, the weather can be nice, but it can be shocking. I've just been on a family holiday with my kids. My 10 and 12 year old can fight over who's in the front seat. My kids bring me great joy, but not always, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I went to school, I live in La Hinch, but I went to school in Tramore, County Waterford. I went to the CBS and I was thinking about, and I still sometimes go into classrooms nowadays and, you know, you'll still see on the wall the old teaching that says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, as in the fruit of God's presence is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. Mm. And so on this Easter Saturday, I think it's okay to say that, you know, Psalm 16, written 3,000 years ago, it says that in his presence, in God's presence, is the fullness of joy. So I think we experience the joy of our kids, the family, you know, the joy of nature. You know, we experience all these things. They're gifts, the sand, the sea. It's all gifts, relationships, key relationships are gifts. But so what I would say today is that the fullness of joy is in God's presence, and that's in a relationship. You know,
that's okay. Yeah. You don't need to be apologetic about that. And it's funny, everybody has their own perspectives here.
Yeah.
But actually, if listening to Tony talk and listening to Aoife talk to an extent, did you think, John, well, what they're describing is the Holy Spirit passing through people, surging up in people, because it's all similar kind of feelings, isn't it? With people put different meaning on it.
Yeah, I think there is, as both the guys said, there is a difference between happiness and joy. You know, it's been said that happiness is based on happenings, but joy is something deeper. It's from the Lord. And so we can be happy is as in like, oh, it's sunny today, I'm happy. But joy, yeah, I think as Tony said, there is a deeper, it's a more spiritual thing. And so joy is available from God, yeah.
Okay. Tony, this might seem like a strange question. Would you give me an example of something that gave you joy recently, an unexpected moment?
Well, you know, again, going back to John and relationship, very often meeting people in relationship in unusual settings can be a source of joy. I had a puncture and driving along the canal, and I had to get my tyre fixed. So I went to Dolphin's Bar, into a tyre place, and it was just one of those inconvenient things one has to do. But there was a man there who was so joyful. He just came out and he was really cheerful, and he kind of saw that I was probably, I was under time pressure, all the usual. And he just said, look, we're going to fix this. This is okay. Relax, you know. And he turned to me and he said, I can see you take great care of this car. We're going to make this tyre right, you know. And he immediately put me at ease, and then he took off the wheel and he said, if you're going to have a puncture, this is the best place to have it. Look at the nail. It's right in the middle. And he said it was on the sides. It wouldn't work. And the point is, his joy was contagious. And the wheel got fixed very simply and inexpensively. But more importantly, he changed my day. You know, he just put back my faith in humanity, you know. A beautiful man. And I don't know who he was. I went back and gave him a tip because I just couldn't leave without saying thank you.
So there's a couple of things in that now that you'd wonder. So is he, do you think he's more capable of joy than like I am or something like, or
yes,
than, are some people like just more open to it or born that way? Or,
well, he clearly for me is a man gifted with joy, and perhaps he'd had a beautiful morning or something very special had happened, or maybe, but I felt within himself he was someone who paid attention, and he caught me just in the few seconds of our interaction as I pulled the car into the bay. So I felt he was attentive. He was open. He noticed I wasn't in 100% good form. and he just met me and lifted me. And I think that is... So if he... And I also think that he was joyful because of doing that. That I think joy is other-centred. It's not me.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but he certainly, you know... blew the heart open, that kind of, you know, and thank you, whoever he is. My grandchildren are my biggest teachers in joy, and I said to my children, you know, if only I knew how good it was going to be, I would have had them first. because they are just caught up in a wonderful way with life. And it can be just they're spinning in a circle in the back garden. I'm looking out the window and I can see them. And the thing is, they are that circle. They're spinning, they're happy. They're caught up in that flow of the beauty of life, of just being alive. And that's contagious. And
they'll get that knocked out of them.
Of course they will. Yeah. But, you know, and it just, I think for grandparents, this is where we find joy. You know, it's personal, but it's like we look at this and we feel we've done something right.
And do you think about it all then? Why wasn't I able to just open myself up to this with my kids as well? Or is it a different job?
Oh, well, I did, of course. I enjoy the kids hugely. But you're also, you know, trying to parent them and trying to solve battles in the back of the car and you're growing grey, your hair is turning grey and you're worried. It's a different thing for grandparents, I think, with grandchildren, and it's why it's so difficult not to have access to them for grandchildren. Very painful, but they're my joyful moments recently.
Aoife, if I ask you to think about joyful moments, so we've had the singing in a group is clearly a very joyful thing. Everybody says yes.
Well, I mean, I suppose the sing-along social is a singing party for people who cannot sing. That's what we specialize in. We're not a choir. We're a group of really bad singers. But it's the idea, I suppose, that you can still access that joy even if you have no talent. It's not just for good singers. But I just want to pick up on what Tony was saying there about grandkids. And actually, my most recent source of joy was my niece about an hour ago. I was nervous about coming here and talking about joy, even though it's a lovely subject, but this is kind of scary. And so she was like, she's nine, she knows me very well. She's like, let's have a dance party. So we just danced it off. And I suppose what maybe kids and animals can do that maybe we forget, or as you say, is a bit knocked out of us, is that they live 100% authentically to themselves. And I think that is a really joyful thing. As a person in my personal life, I came out quite late in life. So for me to be able to live authentically to myself, to share the joy of a beautiful partnership with my girlfriend, Anstis, is honestly the most joyful thing that I've felt in my life, to fully embrace who I am as a person. Because hiding that part of myself or living in shame and fear is absolutely anti-joy. You know, you're carrying around these things that you're trying to hide. You're carrying around things that, and that makes you sick. It causes dis-ease, it causes illness, anxiety, depression. And so that's been an amazing access to, again, and it comes back to my core values of community, to be part of the LGBTQ plus community is a joyful thing. So that's what I wanted to, that's a recent, I suppose, like fully stepping into my joy. But I do think
I
kids
can well
are,
imagine the block, the joy block that it must be. John, so you are one of Ireland's top surfers. I imagine that surfing those big waves, and as you say, we don't want to kind of make nature twee either. Like, I mean, it is challenging and powerful and everything. Yeah. But still, is that must be your greatest source of incredible joy and freedom? Is it?
What I would say was happiness is based on happenings, but joy is deeper, and so. For myself, I was one of the first guys to surf at the Cliffs of Moher. I got to name the break, but what I experienced was you surf the giant wave, you get the photo, and you show it to your friends, but after a while they're just like, yeah, okay, you showed me.
Okay.
And so you know, I think if you were left alone to just go surfing by yourself all the time, you wouldn't be happy. So I guess, Brendan, my life was based around a particular day. In the 24th of June 2006,
okay,
where I wasn't doing well, things were not going well in my life, but yeah, I started reading the Bible, I gave my life to Jesus on that day, and so I could say I met joy, I met the person, Jesus, you know, I met him, he's my exceeding joy, and so that's, you know, whether it's sunny or whether it's rainy, whether things are good or bad, I still have joy in that relationship. And so nature, as I said, you know, it can be nice to you. Nature can be dreadful. So, you know, I guess I try not to live based on circumstances, or try not to live based on things that are up and down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm anchored. My hope is anchored in the Lord, in Jesus. And so that's the beautiful thing about that, Brendan, is every day since then, since the 24th of June 2006, I've gotten up, I've spent some time with him, and my joy is renewed, and I'm continuing to walk out that relationship. As I said,
you can tell me as much or as little as you want, but what prompted it in the actual moment?
Yeah, well, I was in Byron Bay, I was backpacking, I was traveling around the world, you know, trying to find myself. I read a book on world religions, I started reading the Bible, went back to Mass, tried to be good, but a year later, I had failed on that project of trying to be good or self-righteous. And so I did go along to a Christian surfers meeting, and I heard the message of Jesus. You know, Jesus calls, come follow me, die to self, lay down your life. And on that day, something, my sin had caught up with me. And so I was ready to hand over my life to the Savior who loved me and had died for my sins. And so I did that on that day. And I came into a new life on that day, a joyous new life, yeah.
And so there's an intersection there between surfers and Christianity, is there?
Where I heard the message, the Christian message, Jesus' message, was at a Christian surfers event in Devon, actually, yeah.
Okay. Mm. Just before we leave you,
yeah,
would you though just describe for me being in, when you're, I don't know how you describe it, in the tunnel or cresting on like a massive, how big are the big waves you would have
surfed? Yeah, like in the past month I've been up to Mullaghmore twice, and the waves are, they're giant, you know what I mean? And they're very dangerous. I have a YouTube channel, it's called Cliffs of Hope. So I vlog on there, I'm on there, you know, I've got my GoPro on the front of the surfboard.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's epic to go out there. And Brendan, I wouldn't go out there. I'm by nature cautious. But, you know, I feel like God's leading me out there. I'm out there and he's telling me to be courageous. And so, it's epic. Ireland is an amazing place. These waves are, you know, I've traveled the world. I've been to Hawaii and you don't see waves like that. So Ireland is unique in these incredible, and Tony lives up there, in Mullaghmore.
Yeah. Because you see guys doing it like in those real big wave situations, they're like little matchsticks
and
the power of the sea, and you just think like, okay, they're like on some kind of cusp between them, you could be dead any second or gone or out of control. Tony, it's interesting what John says there about that clearly I'm taking it as that there was a kind of a hedonistic life beforehand, which a lot of people think there is joy in, and there probably are great moments of joy in it, but and then struggling to find joy, and John found it the way he found it. You've struggled as well, I think it's fair to say, to find joy at times in life. Does it get easier as you get on in life to kind of get over yourself and open up to it? Does it help as well, actually, if you've been in the kind of darkness?
Oh, I think so. I think that the depth of our joy is often the depth of the darkness we've been through. And you really appreciate those moments that might otherwise you might miss. We've all been through a journey, and but I was just thinking of what John said about his faith, and I was thinking, how does that relate to joy? And I think, if I can just say that, I think faith is, for me certainly, and I think for people, it is the belief that we're loved, you know, that we're loved absolutely and completely with all our brokenness and imperfections, and that we in turn love others. And that love is, it opens the heart, you know. And I think joy steps up in that moment and invites the soul to dance. So it's a wonderful thing. And I think faith and joy do go hand in hand.
Do you, yeah?
Well, I'm not saying you can't have joy without faith, but I think that... But I can't imagine somebody being able to feel the real joy of living without believing in something. You know, it's something bigger, something else, something greater, something more beautiful, some mystery that you're just, it lifts you out of yourself.
Where are you at with the mystery?
Well, I think I'm just in awe of it, really.
Yeah.
You know, I'm... really just taking more time as I get older to be with that and just to think about that. And I to experience the kind of depth that Aoife and John are both talking about, that sort of inner joy. That joy is something we comes from within rather than without. I mean, it can be helped by circumstances, particularly when we are with people we love and that. But I think it really comes from within.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, and it's yeah. I just want to take a bit of time with that myself.
Mm-hmm. And Aoife, you've kind of talked about what the blockage was in joy for you for a long time. So, I think there's a few texts coming in there, basically saying that people are saying about moments of joy and abrupt intrusion into the daily job of living and everything. There are, I think, a lot of obstacles to joy if you're trying to just get on with life as well, aren't there? What are the kind of obstacles you feel to it now?
Yeah, I think it's so important. You can't really have a conversation about joy without talking about sadness. And for me, just look at what's happening in the world and in Gaza. We need a ceasefire now. And the type of pain that people are living through, whether it's an unexpected illness, chronic pain, these are all obstacles to joy. I'm an extremely privileged person, and I also have obstacles to joy. I'm so lucky that I feel joy in Technicolor. It's high definition. It's in a whole body experience. I can be present in it. And I suppose the flip side to that is that my sadness is, it's also a movie. It's a feature film. It's in visual reality. I can't think of a clearer analogy.
No. You're explaining it perfectly. I think you're all in on both.
Yeah, that's it. I'm too extra. I cannot do anything unless it's 100%.
Listen, you don't want to be mid either. It's probably better to be extra, isn't it?
I mean, maybe, I guess. Yes, I think so.
Do you think you do events abroad as well? Irish people a little bit more extra than other people, do we think?
I think it's such a good question. I've done events in the UK and in Germany and in the States, and I have noticed a difference. What I noticed in the UK is they need more permission than we do. They really, and I'm not doing events there every weekend. I'm not an expert, but I think there's something about crack. It is It's in our nature. It's and that's like play. That's mischief. Mm-hmm. It's not just fun. Mm. It's there's something a bit naughty about it as well. Like, and it's very community based. Mm. I think so. Again, I think there's something about it's kind of our native language, but on the flip side, we're pretty good at misery as well. So I think that is not a coincidence too.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah, play is interesting though, isn't it, that we need to remember to play. I often think the shortcut to joy, like you talk about crack being one of your core values, laughing is like the most obvious shortcut to joy, isn't it? Because you forget yourself and you, for a minute, like you transcend, don't you?
Yeah.
And you usually do it together with people.
I think that's it. It's like, you know... So when, say, if, like, I had a lovely chat with your producer there the other day preparing for this, and he said, you know, when is the last time you didn't feel joy? And I said, Alan, yesterday. Like, it was, it's not a happy time every day. And I suppose what had helped me, and you might relate to this, John, what had helped me, I'd felt, okay, just as a woman too, I have a very clear cycle of joy from in 1 month. So 2 weeks ago, top of the world. Today, not great. So I wasn't feeling wonderful, but luckily I had been in La Hinch volunteering at Common Knowledge, an amazing building organization there. And I'd gone to Hugo's Bakery in La Hinch, which is truly one of the best bakeries in this country. Mm. And I had made, my girlfriend Anstis had made me, she brought me up a slice of toast with, and the butter was just so perfectly melted. And when I bit into it and just this crust and the flavor, and let me tell you, it was like a step ladder.
I'm 100% with you. Yeah. Half the country has gone off to make some toast right? now, let's face it.
It's that, and I suppose what it is it's something as simple as that that can take you out of yourself. It doesn't have to be, you know, some grand big gesture. It's incredible to ride waves. It's an awesome experience to sing along to at a festival with 1,000 people or whatever. But for us to be able to have these little tools and these little steps back into joy, or even just medium, is really important, I think, as well.
Yeah.
So the answer is bread, everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, toast specifically.
100%.
Toast is a very different... bread could be happiness. Toast is joy, I feel, possibly.
exactly.
So happiness, standing in the middle of a fairway, listening to the birds singing despite the frustration of the odd bad golf shot, says this texter. Joy, sinking that long putt on the last green to win a competition. And there you go, the elusive moment. John, Aoife was mentioning La Hinch there. So I presume living in a beautiful place surrounded by nature in all her darkness and light and everything, I often feel if we all live by the sea, it would spark more joy in us, do you think?
Yeah, like the sand, the sea, relationships, I think they're all a gift, you know? Like you walk the end of La Hinch Beach, you know what I mean? You get to that golden sand, same like Streeta up in Mullaghmore. You know, people, I'm not a sea swimmer. You know, I've surfed with a wetsuit on, but the sea swimmers come out of the water and they're trying to explain the joy to other people. Yeah. Like they're trying to convert people. But yeah, I just see it as a gift. And you know, Brendan, this Easter Saturday, the Easter message is that God has given the greatest gift. He gave his son. God loved the world so much, he gave his son, that whoever believes in him will not suffer the penalty of our brokenness. We're all broken, but we'll have eternal life and eternal joy. And that's the Easter message. Jesus died on a cross for sinners like me, like us. And so so the beach, the sand, the sea, it's all a gift. It's a gift from God. That's my take on it, this Easter Saturday.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who swim in the sea or do things in the sea would say that the closest you'll get to feeling or seeing God for a lot of them is kind of is in there. Are you noticing, notwithstanding that the resurrection of the Lord himself, are you noticing down in La Hinch a bit of a resurrection of the landscape now? Is spring finally coming, do you think?
Brendan, bad news. I have been on a family holiday in Fuerteventura for the past week so.
You did the sensible thing.
I'm sorry. I can't. I'm back for Easter Sunday, though.
Yeah. Tony, you, as you often do, kindly put together a list of kind of tips, makes them sound like cooking tips or something, but some thoughts on finding joy, maybe if people are finding it difficult, and we put them up on our website. Yeah. But before we finish up, would you have a few practical thoughts for people on how they might try and open up to joy or access it?
I'm never good on the sort of practical details, but that's
Tony's final thought. I like to think of it. I
think joy is what gives our life meaning, and it's what connects us with each other. And you know, I'd say if you could just trust yourself more, that you're capable of joy no matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter how difficult things may be. I'm not diminishing those things, but that somewhere, even in the midst of very real darkness and sadness, people find joy. And they find it, like we said before, in a way, in a deep way, that seems to reflect how deep their difficulties may be. So I would just say trust, and, you know, be very gentle with yourself. Be very kind, because that opens the heart more than anything else.
Yeah. Okay. It's the hardest thing to do, to undo. It's like trying to force yourself to go to sleep.
Yeah,
like
it is. It is hard.
Try and fall backwards into it.
But, you know, do one thing at a time. Just set your expectations much more realistically. Let go of the mandates that you've been carrying and listening to in your mind for years, that you should do X, Y, Z. No, just be who you are and just trust that, and you'll find your way, you know.
Yeah, okay. Here. Bernadette says, I could suddenly feel joy while doing something mundane, like standing at the sink watching a bird on the feeder. It comes unbidden.
Surprise.
Okay, thanks very much to my panel, life coach and crack mechanic Aoife McIlwain, clinical psychologist Tony Bates, and surfer and leader at North Clare Community Church, John McCarthy. Thanks, guys. We'll take a break.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.